It's well known that former President Donald Trump has used some pretty inflammatory anti-immigrant rhetoric in his public statements, and that has certainly been reported on. But author and activist Max Elbaum says there's much more to the issue than Trump as an individual. He spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg.
You don't think that Trump is being taken quite seriously enough, or at least the movement that he represents isn't being taken seriously enough? There's certainly been a lot of publicity about the kind of rhetoric he uses, but you think the coverage should be deeper than that. What do you mean by that?
Donald Trump as an individual has his own particular quirks and his own particular narcissism and pathology. But the real problem is he has gathered around him forces that are deeply rooted in U.S. life that have a whole history going back in the most recent period to the backlash against the gains of the 1960s. And they've coalesced into a social bloc that has a different agenda for the country than the listeners of KPFA radio.
Would you say a different agenda than even the Reagan people or the Bush people or Newt Gingrich, people like that?
Yes. Those people were imperialists and they were conservative, but the Republican Party has been taken over by a bloc that is a direct descendant of the Confederacy in the 19th century. Direct descendant of those who opposed racial integration and racial equality in the 1960s. Also a key component of that bloc are the wealthiest right-wing billionaires, the fossil fuel industry, who've never accepted the New Deal, never accepted trade union rights, have been hostile to democracy and majority rule for decades. Are still a belief in U.S. hegemony and are in denial about climate change. So those things have become the dominant force, a coalition of the most right-wing sections of the capitalist class and the layers of the population that are the most invested in racial and gender hierarchies and a theocratic vision of the country. Basically, a white Christian nationalist bloc has taken over the Republican Party. And they're using immigration as their battering ram. It's been since 2015, since Trump announced, immigrants have been a key target of the dehumanization effort to blame the problems of the country and the world on people of color, on people from so-called whole countries, to use Donald Trump's language, and to scapegoat some of the most vulnerable and marginalized people for the problems that are rooted in the structure of U.S. capitalism.
What are the Democrats doing about that? How are they opposing it, if at all? Biden was on the border along with Trump. He has a different message. Do you think that message is substantially different than what Trump is saying?
Well, on immigration and on foreign policy and Gaza in particular are the biggest differences between progressives and the Biden wing of those who are opposed to the MAGA bloc. So the Biden team on immigration accepts the idea that immigration is a problem and that what we face is a so-called border crisis. The reality is what we're facing is a crisis, a global crisis of the right of people to stay home in safety and security in their countries. And the reason they can't do that has a lot to do with U.S. policies, U.S. policies of war, of exploitation, failure to do something about climate change. And in that respect, the Biden people have adopted an anti-immigrant policy, a misdiagnosis of the problem, or I would even say a cover-up of the U.S. role in this problem. And in that respect, it's not much different from Donald Trump and the MAGA bloc. And it has to be completely opposed by the progressive movement, just as Biden's policies around Israel, Palestine have to be opposed with as much energy and sophistication as we can muster.
the Biden people might say, well, look, we have to get something done. We had to compromise. We had to do something about immigration in order to get our funding for Ukraine and Israel passed. So that's what we had to do in practical political terms. How would you respond to that?
I would say that they say that's what they have to do, but they're speaking for a particular class interest when they say we. That isn't the interest that we have as progressive people who are interested in what's best for the majority of people in this country and the majority of people around the world. There is a problem of people being unable to stay home in safety, and the way that the United States should deal with it has to do with changing its foreign policy and adhering to international law on the right of people who are migrating to seek asylum if they're unsafe in their home countries. That kind of message over time, we have to fight for that kind of message because that kind of message is an integral part, is connected to the fight against authoritarian rule and the kind of fascism that U.S. style fascism that the MAGA bloc represents. There's plenty of things that can be done about the immediate problems of the large numbers of people trying to reach the United States. Those things can be done in a way that benefits the working class and does not demonize the most marginal. Closing detention centers, processing, distributing the funds that will process people who are seeking asylum, adhering to international law about the right of asylum, changing U.S. foreign policy so not as many people are forced to leave their homes, granting a route to legalization and full political rights to those people who are here and have been contributing to the U.S. economy. And we have to fight around that, not just on humanitarian grounds, but on the grounds that, as New York Times article showed, immigration is a positive contributor to the growth of the U.S. economy and a positive contributor to U.S. Culture and the links between people in the United States and around the globe. And especially we do have to reject, and in this the Democrats are somewhat different from the Republicans, the whole racist demonization and dehumanization of immigrants that's being used as the last article I wrote in Convergence was called First They Came for the Immigrants. People think that the dehumanization of immigrants that's being spawned by the rhetoric of the MAGA bloc is going to stop with immigrants. They're kidding themselves. The whole discussion that the country is being invaded by vermin, infecting the body politic, this is the kind of traditional language of fascism that can be imposed against any group of people. So the defense of immigrants right now is a key part of the defense of democracy. And we have to pressure the Biden administration, just as people in Michigan the other day were pressuring the Biden administration around Gaza by voting uncommitted in the Democratic primary, showing that they reject MAGA and they're not interested in voting for Trump. But they want to make the case that the Biden administration is losing key parts of its potential voting base, those who want to vote against MAGA but are disgusted by Biden administration's policies, particularly around immigration and Gaza.
Do you think the connection between the crime and the terrible conditions that exist in other countries that cause people to come here is not being connected to U.S. foreign policy that you mentioned? Do you think the media here doesn't really cover that at all?
Occasionally it's mentioned, but it's not given its due. And it's also true, the United States government is not the only bad actor in the world. You can't blame every single thing and every problem completely on the U.S. government. If you look at what's going on in Myanmar right now and in various other places in the world. So it's certainly not an exclusive U.S. problem, but the U.S. remains the dominant world power. It has a key role in the structure of the world economy. The U.S. more than any other country still shapes that. The U.S. government still shapes more than any other country the way weapons are spreading all over the world, the role of violence, the militarization of problems. Again, the U.S. isn't the only problematic actor in the world, but it has a huge influence on that. And were the U.S. to shift policy, it wouldn't solve every problem in the world immediately, but it would make a huge difference in people's lives all over Latin America, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, as well as in North America and here in the United States.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
We're in a very dangerous political time. There's been a 60-year backlash against the gains of the 1960s that's attacked every progressive gain going back to the New Deal. Make America Great Again wants to take the country back to the 19th century, the era of Jim Crow, the Gilded Age, all wealth to the wealthy, turn over fossil fuels, turn over the energy policy to the fossil fuel industry. They've built up a big apparatus, and they now control the Republican Party, the Supreme Court, and they're already implementing their agenda in the 20-some states where the Republican Party has trifectas. But we can't fight that solely through talking about the dangers of MAGA and only talking about issues where there is a clear difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, like abortion, LGBTQ rights, labor rights, and the difference between a Biden NLRB and what a Trump NLRB would be. We have to also fight for progressive change across the board and for a positive vision of where we're going. And immigration has got to be a key part of that. Defense of immigrants is an injury to one and injury to all. And right now, in this primary season and in the season before the general election, the contention between progressives and the Democratic Party leadership comes to the fore, and we have to demonstrate, we have to propagandize, and we have to defend the squad who are under attack by anti-progressives. There's a whole bunch of things we have to do so that progressives gain influence and we can shape the direction of the country in the long term.
Max Elbaum writes for Convergence Magazine. He spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on March 5th, 2024.